each one here this morning. We do want to wish all of our fathers a happy Father's Day. Do thank the Lord for good, godly men. And we certainly pray that we could teach the next generation to be good, godly men as they go forth. I'm going to turn to begin with today in Psalm 10. Psalm 10. I'm going to go through a few different psalms, at least reading a couple of verses in a few different places. And we're going to deal with kind of the vanity of man's thoughts. And as we look at that, there's hope that we have in God, in Christ. And the way that we examine ourselves, you know, I think one of the greatest things, and I'll be honest with you, I've had this burden on my heart for a little while now, so this isn't just a message we said, oh, this will fit well today. It's something that God had led us to a while back. But I will say this, even thinking about on Father's Day and different time, and even really thinking about revival starting today, how much is revival about us turning back to God? Recognizing what's within our heart and our mind and turning back to God. And that's the burden that we have on our heart today. And we're going to begin in Psalm 10. As we mentioned, we're going to look at verse 4. But before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, we know that You've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we know that we have no ability to bring revival. Brother Terry doesn't. Father, that takes Your Word, it takes Your Holy Spirit, and it takes us yielding to Your Word and Your Holy Spirit for that to be accomplished. And Father, we pray that we'd come with open hearts and open minds, that Father, that we could hear Your Word, that we could apply it to our heart, that Father, we'd even see sins within ourselves, that we could repent of that. And Father, especially for the lost, that they would see their need of Jesus before it be everlasting too late. Father, we ask all these things, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen. In Psalm 10, verse 4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts." And notice where it begins here. It begins with pride. That's the problem that we all have to deal with. And one of the greatest parts about pride is we compare ourselves by ourselves. One of the most foolish things that humans do is we judge our righteousness or our goodness based upon somebody else. Well, this person's worse than I am. This person sins more than I do. Therefore, I'm righteous. That doesn't mean that you're righteous. It might mean that you look better than that person, or you might behave a little bit better than that person. But true righteousness is established by God in Christ. And if we look at the perfect law of liberty, we look at Christ, we look at even the Old Testament law, and we dig into those things, there's none of us going to be feeling too righteous when we look at ourselves compared to God. And that's where we get humility from. That's where we get being humble and seeing our need of God. But pride's something that gets in the way. And what we do a lot of times is we go by our experience. We go by, well, I've seen this, I've experienced this, I know how people behave. And again, that's not a righteous standard either. Because I'll say this, the world that my granddaddy grew up in is a lot different than the world today. But it was still a sinful world. The world that my daddy grew up in is a lot different. It would be hard for me to understand some of the things that he went through and saw and experienced. He shared some of those things with me of what he experienced growing up and things that he got to see even in others' lives. And sometimes I hear some of that and I go, wow, that's kind of hard to even imagine. And yet, you know, there's a lot of people that look at people my age and they say, well, you just grew up in a different world. You grew up in a different time. Well, that's the way it is all the time, but sin is the same. Pride's always been around. Sin's been around. And we need God. And yet the sadder thing is the more sinful we get, y'all notice the less that we see that we need God. The more prideful man gets, the more boastful he gets, the less we see that we need God. We justify ourselves into the point that God is not in any of our thoughts. God is not directing us. God's not leading us. It's just we're going by how I feel, how I think, how I believe. And God's pretty much left out of the equation in a lot of people's lives. And that's not just out in the world. We say, well, I see that out in the world. Do we see that in church? There's a lot of even messages coming from the pulpit that has more to do with man's opinion than it does have to do with the Word of God. And so it's not coming from God, it's coming from man. We need to be careful with that, because the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. And that means we're not repenting, we're not turning, we're not letting God lead us. Turn with me over to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. I'm going to read verse 11 here. It says here, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." God knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Let me ask a few questions while we look at this scripture. Any of you ever have thoughts that you don't want anybody else to know about? I had a person years ago say, "Oh, it'd be wonderful if we had the gift of reading somebody's mind." And I'm going, no, it wouldn't. You don't want that. "Oh, I'd love to know what this person thinks or how they feel about this." And I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want that. And the way you know you don't want that is you deal with your own mind. You know, I made a statement several years ago in a service. I said, if y'all knew some of the thoughts that have ever crossed my mind, I said, y'all wouldn't even let me preach. And look, I saw a lot of people doing this number right here while I was preaching that. And the reason is they know the human mind. It's vanity. And what you have to do is you have to control that. And we don't have the ability to control that in and of ourselves. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to help us overcome it. But you know, we're dealing with things in our mind. And some people say, "Oh, you don't know, my mind's a lot worse than yours is." I had a young man years ago come to me and he made the statement, "Oh, if people knew what was in my mind." And I said, the thing is, a lot of us do. Is there any thought that you can have that hasn't been had before? There any feeling or emotion that you're having that somebody else hasn't had? You know, the Lord said in truth, there is nothing new under the sun. There isn't. Oh, we might have different ways to deal with those emotions and feelings and sinful thoughts and vanities and all that. You might have television to deal with it. You might go from corded phones to cordless phones and all this other stuff. And it might go from television and VHS and DVD to just right there in your hand on some device. But I'll tell you what, the sin is the same. Sin is the same. And what man thinks and what man does, listen, there's nothing new under the sun as far as that's concerned. We all deal with sin right here in our mind. We all deal with it. And I'll tell you what, sometimes, do you know what we try to do with that? We try to hide it. We try to cover it up. We try to act like it's not there. But you're never going to fool God. God knows what goes on in each one of our heads. God knows what we think. And look, there's some of us, we know this, that if a man will judge himself, he would avoid the judgment of God. If we would see the sin as soon as it enters our mind and we'd get rid of it, it would be a whole lot different. God knows what we meditate upon. God knows what we really focus our attention on within our minds. That's why when Jesus came preaching, a lot of people say, "Oh man, Jesus made it so much easier on us." I'm going, you have not read the Sermon on the Mount if you believe that. Because Jesus took "thou shalt not kill," and he said you shouldn't even have the thought of killing somebody in your mind. He said that bitterness and malice, it shouldn't be within you. He said if you have that in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. Now we know there's a lot of difference between committing murder in the flesh versus committing murder in the mind. But God's saying that is the root of where it all comes from. He even took adultery, didn't he? He said, if you lust, If you lust with your eyes, he said, you've committed adultery in your heart. Again, we know there's a difference between actually committing the act of adultery and thinking about it. But God said, you need to take care of that in your mind. You need to stop it where it starts. And he took it to a different level. He said, don't just not commit the sin. He said, don't think about committing the sin. Because it's in the mind where those things begin to build up. That's where greed begins, is in the mind. That's where lust begins, is in the mind. That's where all kinds of evil. And the Lord's saying, listen, I know your thoughts. I know the vanity that exists within you. And you know where God wants us to deal with sin? He wants it to begin right here in our mind. He wants it to start right there. Turn with me over to Psalm 119. We're going to look at verse 113 in Psalm 119. This is a man speaking here. And notice the first part of this verse. We're going to deal with both sides of it. But in Psalm 119, verse 113, the first part of this verse says, I hate vain thoughts. Now we just dealt with that man's mind, his thoughts are full of vanity. You know how you deal with that? You got to hate sin within yourself first. God said we got to get the beam out of our own eye that we can see clearly to help our brother with the mote that's within him. And so you got to start by hating sin within yourself. Y'all ever had a thought come into your mind? And immediately you go, that's a horrible thought. The way I think about this, and this is the way that an illustration that I use with it. You know, over the years, I've worked with different chemicals and different things, construction work, working with small engines and things of that nature. You ever touch something and you're like, yeah, that's nasty. Sometimes you'll even step in something and it's nasty. And you can't wait to get to a water hose to wash your foot off, wash your shoe off. There are just some things that are just nasty to be around. You touch it, you step in it, you do whatever. There's just some things that you come across in life. It's just got a weird texture to it. You know, there's some things you forget over time. And there's some things you remember. When I started my lawn care business years ago, I've never forgotten having to move a dead carcass of an animal. That thing had been there a few days. Y'all ever seen an animal when it starts coming apart just by gravity? If you ever seen that, you know the disgusting nature of that. It's just nasty. Just the thought of it is just a nasty feeling. There's probably some of you that have a stench in your nostrils right now if you've ever experienced that. You remember the smell of it even if you wish you couldn't. Do you know that's the way that God wants us to look at sin? When you think about that stuff, that's the way that God wants you to look at sin. That when it comes into your mind, you go, it's like putting your hand on something that's nasty. It's like smelling something that's nasty, stepping in something that's nasty. It's just a feeling of, ah. Well, there's a lot of people when it comes to sin, they don't treat it like that. But here in Psalm 119, he made the statement, he said, I hate vain thoughts. How many, again, I'll go back to this point. How many of us can read somebody else's mind? I don't know your thoughts, and I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know what things you've thought about that's wrong. You may have been angry. You may have had malice upon your heart. You might have had greed in your life this week. You might have had some lust that's entered into you from different things. How do you deal with those thoughts? Do you look at them and say, that's ugly, I want that out of my head? Or do you dwell on those things? You know, it makes a big difference in our life of what we do with these things. The Bible says, and I'll word it this way, it is not a sin to get angry, is it? But the Bible said, be ye angry and sin not. Anger is something we're all going to deal with. But there's some people that deal with anger, well, I'm going to hurt this person back. They hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. They get angry and they take it out on somebody else. They let that anger fester within their mind until it brings forth some fruit of wickedness. But God said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He says, I understand you can get angry, but you need to let that anger go. You don't need to let it develop into malice. You don't need to let it develop into envy, hatred, backbiting, and all these other things. It doesn't need to become that. When you see that sin, you need to despise it and get rid of it. And notice the second part of this verse. It's not just that he hates vain thoughts. He said, but thy law do I love. You know, in the New Testament, it tells us that whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, you know, whatsoever things are righteous. And the Lord goes on to say, think ye on these things. You know, sometimes even people sometimes read in the Scripture, they read meditation. The Lord teaches us to meditate upon some things. Let me tell you this, biblical meditation and worldly meditation are two totally different things. Worldly meditation is this, empty your brain, clear your mind. I'll tell you this, you might want to be careful when you clear that mind because what comes into it might be bad. God doesn't tell us to empty our minds. He tells us to fill our minds with the things that are good. He tells us to focus and think on things that are righteous and holy and they're wholesome and they're things that are upright. That's what God tells us to fill our mind with. When God says, I want you to meditate upon some things, He's saying, I want you to think on these things. I want you to be focused on these things. He's not saying empty your mind and have some kind of emptiness. He says, I want you to fill your mind with that which is good. Well, if you hate vain thoughts, what do you need to replace them with? He said, thy law do I love. Isn't it good to think about how we can do good to our neighbor? Isn't it good to think upon doctrines and even go back to our salvation and think about how God saved us and how He loved us? Isn't it good to think about what God has waiting for us in eternity? Isn't it good to focus on the resurrection? Isn't it good to see those that are hungry and those that are in need, those that are less fortunate, and to see how God can lead us to be a blessing or help to them, to point some lost soul to Christ? That's good things to fill our mind with. But if we're not careful, we'll fill our thoughts with vanity. You know, even recently, and I've seen it at several houses, you know, there's some people who get focused on the news all the time. Let me tell you this. It's good to know some things of what's going on in the world. But I'll tell you this. While I'm driving down the road, I don't need to be listening to the news for the hours I'm on the road. I would be so angry and upset every time I came to church. What I need to do is focus on how God would have me to live and what I need to be doing. Again, it's not wrong to know some of those things, and it's not wrong to even get upset about some of the things going on in the world and know what to pray for and things of that nature. I'm not against that. I don't believe God is either, but He doesn't want us to be so consumed with the affairs of this life that we cannot serve Him. Have y'all met some people that get so consumed with the things of this life that they can't serve God? Be careful what you fill your head with. Look, that goes back to a little song we teach children. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what we see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what we hear. We better remember that as adults too. Because before too long, all of our heart is on vanity. And on evil. And on hatred and on malice. We need to hate vain thoughts. And we need to love the things of God. Turn with me over one more place. Psalm 139. And there's some things within at the end of this chapter. And I want to get some thoughts across to us because we see that it's written in the Word of God. There's examples given to us in Scripture to say, you're not the first one to ever deal with these things. You're not the first one to ever deal with these emotions and these trials and these thoughts and these ideas. Notice where I pick up in verse 21 of Psalm 139. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee. And listen, that Scripture, that's right in there in the Word of God. I hate people that do evil. I do. But does that apply to me? We ever do evil? We ever think evil? Yeah. We don't just need to have that at some far off enemy somewhere. He said, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I'll tell you what, I'm grieved with those who fight against God. I'll be honest with you, the more I see of it, the more you'll spend times in tears even about it. And I promise you, there's times I'm so grieved with some of the things that I see, not just out in the world, but even amongst God's churches. It grieves me. It brings tears to your eyes. It brings sorrow and grief. But you know what? If you're not careful, that sorrow and grief will turn to hatred and bitterness and malice. He said, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And they are. What he's saying here is not wrong. But notice what he follows up. That is not the end of this psalm. Search me. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. You think this psalmist understood that even his emotions and feelings, that Satan could use them to cause him to fall away from God? You know, even when we stand up for what's right, if we're not careful, we can let our hatred for those that are doing wrong become evil thoughts and evil emotions. And we know the vanity of our minds and how our minds work. And we can come to the place from serving God to coming to a place of being in wickedness ourselves. It's happened to many people throughout time, hasn't it? I'll encourage you to study this sometimes. Look at where Solomon started. And look at where his life ended. The same gift that God meant for him for good, his wisdom and all that, he began to use that to justify his own actions and his own sins. You think that can't happen to us if it happened to Solomon? The same man in David that God used to defeat a giant. He just looked to God and he trusted in God, had a heart after God. Before too long was saying, I fought enough battles, I can sit at home and take it easy. And even justified in himself, I've done enough good. I can have this other woman over here if I so choose. And that even led him to take that woman's husband's life, if I get that all out correctly. See, if we're not careful, we can go down a bad path in a short amount of time. David knew it was right that he hate those that hate God, that he stand against them, that he declared them the enemies who were the enemies of God. It was right for him to do that. But he also at the same time said, God, if I'm not careful, I won't have any mercy. I won't have any righteousness. I'll just be about vengeance, and vengeance is God, not ours. And so what he came back to is he said, God, I'm going to need you to search me. God, I'm not going to need you to get into my heart. I need you to put me to the test. I need you to know my thoughts. And when he's saying, know my thoughts, he not only wanted God to know them, but there's a reason he wanted God to know them. God, I need you to show me if my thoughts are not in line with what you want me to be. I need you to see if there's any wicked way in me. And I need you to lead me in the direction, in the steps that you want me to go. Don't we all need that? I know I do. I need God to search my heart. And I need Him to bring up my sin right in front of my face and say, here's some things that you need to deal with. Here's some thoughts that you've had that you need to take care of. That's what I need God to do for me. If we're going to have true revival this week, I'll tell you, that's where it's going to begin, right there. As we say, God, show me what I need to see. God, I want you to put my sins right up in my face. Make me look at them. Make me examine them. And then help me that I will turn and follow the way that you want me to go. That's the only way I know of revival. Dear friend, today we need to make sure that we're looking to God and saying, God, I know my mind. I know the thoughts that I have. I know I'm just a man. I got vanity. God, would you show me where I stand with you? If you're lost, I hope you'll see that you're lost and turn to Christ. If you're saved and you're walking in a way that's ungodly, you've had feelings, maybe towards your spouse, maybe towards other members of the family, maybe towards even people at church. You got things that's there that God doesn't want you to have. I pray that you'll be willing to lay them aside, to repent, and turn in the direction that God wants you to turn. We've all got faults and failures. We all do. We're all human beings that fall short of the glory of God. We all are. But I tell you, if we'll let God, He'll lead us in the ways that we need to go. He'll show us what we need to turn from and what we need to turn to, if we'll allow Him. But the first thing we need to do is acknowledge who we are. See where we are. And if we'll do that, God can help us with everything else. Examine our thoughts. Let God see them. And let us turn to His way for to see His blessings within our life. This is the burden that God has given. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.